David, Jody McDonald, Gary Myers here. How are you, bud?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
David's been covering this such a long time, Jody, that we sat together in Tom Landry's office the afternoon after he got fired. We found him. I've told you how the search was on in Dallas to try to find Landry after he got fired, and David and I found him at the same time, and we sat with him, and we felt like we were sitting in on history. And, David, that was a long time ago. And it didn't seem so long ago that people were saying Jason Garrett's getting fired. Cowboys were 3-5. They just lost a terrible home game to Tennessee. What has gotten into this team besides the obvious addition of Amari Cooper?
Well, what they did was, and this was just before they fell to 3-5, and that was coming out of the bye, really bad loss at home to Tennessee. And since that's when they sunk to 3-5. But everything that has led to this current four-game win streak was put in place before then. And it actually happened when they walked off the field and lost in Washington, when they lost that game. Jerry Jones, for one of the few times after a game, did not talk to the media. Instead, he sat in there with his son, Stephen Jones, sat with Will McClay, their personnel guy, and Jason Garrett was in there. And that's when they determined that we can't win the division the way our offense is currently constructed. We need to go out and we'll give up a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. Now, it wasn't just Amari Cooper, because they get him in. And then several days after that, they determined that, you know what, we made a change with our offensive line coach in the offseason where we wanted to incorporate some new techniques. It's not working. Let's let Paul Alexander go, their offensive line coach. And, you know, it's not completely unusual to see coordinators released during the season. It's very unusual to see line position coaches released during the season. But they did that. Went back to their former blocking style, and all of that together. And then their rookie guard, Connor Williams, had a knee injury, so they had to start Xavier Suafilo out of necessity at left guard. He's a guy who's had 41 starts in this league. It's come together since then. An offense that was really non-competitive and inefficient has now, it's certainly not up to the levels of the elite in the league, but it's doing enough with that outstanding defense that I think everyone saw just how good it was with that win over New Orleans. Now it's not a drag on this team, and this team's been able to win four straight from there.
Jerry Jones gets the last laugh on this one, at least short term, because I would say more people are not questioning the Cowboys trade for Amari Cooper, that he wasn't necessarily worth the first-round pick. And it was a for-now trade, and it didn't look like the Cowboys were going to be in it for now. Well, yeah, they are, and Cooper has fit in quite nicely. Thank you very much, and Jerry is smiling all the way to first place in the NFC East because of it. Who should get credit for that? Cooper? Dak? Offensive coordinator? He certainly is playing better for the Cowboys than he was for the Raiders before they acquired him. Who gets the credit?
Well, he has. First of all, I would say that the personnel department gets the blame for making the determination that they could go into the season and do it by committee with
Very
the players
true.
That they pieced together. So this was a move of desperation. And I will give the personnel department credit for saying, you know what, we made a big mistake here. We can't make this work the way we thought we could. We're going to have to go out and do this. And does that mean you overpay to get Amari Cooper? Yes, but Dallas put itself in position where it had to overpay. They justified it, one, because their offense was truly pathetic at that point. And two, they said, well, you know, he is 24 years old, and we think he's a pretty good fit for our system. So it's not like we're giving away a first-round pick and the guy's 26, 27 years old. You know, we're going to have to sign him to a big-time contract, but we have a little better feel for him than we would a rookie receiver. And is this guy going to be better than the receiver that we're going to have to take in the first round in April and not get the use of him the rest of the season? So all of that conspired to convince them that it was worth overpaying in order to get him. So, I mean, if you want to say who, you know, Jerry Jones has always been the guy in the room who's willing to do the risk-reward ratio. He's willing to take a bigger risk than anyone else in that room, and ultimately – the consequences to him are to the team. They aren't to him or his job security. So I think I would say him I would say Jerry and Stephen Jones were pretty forceful that, look, let's go ahead and go all in and do this. And as Gary mentioned earlier, you know, I don't know that Jason Garrett was on real solid footing at that point either. And I think he was said, yeah, we've got to get this offense fixed right now, because it's going to do no good to fix this offense at the end of the season if he's not going to be part of it. So I think it was led by Jerry and Steven, and I think everyone bought in on it.
David, we knew going into the season that the Cowboys had a lot of good young defensive players, and you can see them developing during the course of the season. But what they did the other night against the Saints was the major take that you would get out of that game, is that they took this offense that was seemingly unstoppable, that played with great quickness and speed, and played old-style, I think, smash-mouth NFC East-style defense, and just hit them in the mouth and almost took away the will of that Saints offense. How did you look at it, and did this come out of the blue for you that they were able to put together a performance like that?
Well, yes and no, if that's a cop-out answer. Look, this defense has been very good, and we have a sample size now. Going into that New Orleans game, if you took the final five games of last year and added them on to this year, which gives you a sample size of a full season of 16 games, this Cowboys defense has held opponents over the previous 16 games going into the New Orleans game to 17.4 points. I think you saw this building toward the end of last year. Everything that they started to devote to the defensive side of the ball started to click and come into place. The depth in the defensive line, the outstanding speed at linebacker, more physical secondary, and they've been growing and getting better this season. All of that being said, I didn't think they would be able to shut down every single facet of New Orleans' offense. You know, I thought they would be able to take away the run game if that's what they wanted to do, and force them into more passing situations than the Saints team really likes to do right now. I didn't think they would be able to take away the screen game the way they did, but they just shut them down across the board. And, you know, going into that game, DeMarcus Lawrence was everyone in the Cowboys locker room, they didn't say it, but really every question they answered all week was, I mean, yeah, you guys are playing better now, but how in the world can you stop this Saints offense? Do you get overwhelmed when you watch them on tape? Are you in awe of what they can do offensively? And really, all of the questions that the players and the coaches fielded all week leading up to the game were very dismissive of their ability to win the game. And I think all of them knew that, filed it away. And the only one who said anything going in was DeMarcus Lawrence, their outstanding defensive end. And he said, look, and he was still giving them credit, saying they were the best team in the league praising Breeze and all he could do. And then someone said, well, how much credit does their offensive line get for how they're playing this year? And then that's when he kind of snapped and he said, well, I think we're playing pretty good too. And they said, well, yeah, but what about the offensive line? He said, well, look, he said, a lot of teams, when they can do whatever they want, look great. What happens when you hit them in the mouth? Then they have to play with the stress. Then you do that and you choke them out. And that's what we're going to try to do. And that's what they did. He went out and he did that. And it happened time and time again. And I thought you even saw it early in the game where Sean Payton used a challenge early in the game on it was a completion and a fumble that didn't go his way. And the fumble took it down a little farther. And he went for that. And then they went for it in the first half on fourth and goal from the one, when they could have gotten a field goal and it still would have just been a 7-point game at that point. I think he knew then that Dallas defense was playing at such a high level. They were going to have a tough evening on their hands.
David, we've got five games left to go. Cowboys half game ahead of the Redskins right now. Game and a half over the Eagles. You've split with the Redskins already. You got a game left with the Eagles. Just beat the Eagles and the Redskins both, and I'll say fairly handily on both. Didn't have to come from behind or rally or make a late field goal to win. Who did the Cowboys think posed their biggest threat in the NFC East, Philadelphia or Washington?
Well, that's a real good question, because like you said, they finished with Washington and they split with them. When you look at what Washington has lost, beyond just the quarterback position, but all their other skill players that they're down and other injuries they have across the board to key players, I think they feel that Philadelphia is really going to be their biggest challenge here. That being said, I think, they meet Washington and Philadelphia meet Monday night, and then Dallas hosts Philadelphia here a week from Sunday. In my mind, the way this is set up, Philadelphia has to win that game. If Philadelphia wins that game, then you kind of play this thing out to the end. But if Dallas can beat Philadelphia then, right after that, the Eagles have to go on the road to play the Rams, and then I think they go home to play the Texans. And the way the Eagles have looked this season, it's not I don't think the odds are in their favor of winning both of those games. So Washington has the easiest schedule, but to me have had the most significant losses. And the Eagles have clearly the worst schedule left. I think Dallas would have to play their way out of the division the remainder of the way. I really believe that.
David, the other thing I was thinking as I was watching the game the other night was, can Dak Prescott be counted on and trusted to hold on to the ball in key situations? It's alarming how many times he's fumbled this year. What's up with that, and how do they fix it during the course of the season?
Yeah, that fumble at the end of the at the end that gave New Orleans a chance was really inexcusable. They were going to score there. Right. It would have put it basically out of reach, and to lose the ball there. Well, what you've seen is he's been sacked. He's already been sacked more this season than he has in any other season in his career. The offensive line with injuries is not what it was. He holds on to the ball too long. He says he works on ball security, and they say they don't have a problem with his fumbles, but it's reached the stage. I don't see how you can say that isn't a problem. In fact, they lost that Washington game what we were talking about earlier because he fumbled and he didn't want to give up a safety in the end zone, and in trying to get out, fumbled the ball, and Washington got a touchdown, which led to their victory there, which led to, the trade for Amari Cooper. So, he's not throwing interceptions, but he's fumbling. And this offense is still not good enough where it can squander their scoring chances when they get down in there. And, Gary, you didn't ask this, but I think the whole crux of the debate in Dallas and elsewhere about whether or not Dak Prescott is a franchise quarterback or not, you could see earlier in that series where they had a 3rd and 10. He made a spectacular run, weaving in and out of tackles, being elusive, and then right at the end being a power runner to stretch out and get it to ensure the first down. Stood up, flexed, a huge first down, then comes back on the very next play. Rookie Michael Gallup gets behind Eli Apple. I think you guys have heard that.
Yeah, we've
phrase
seen that.
Uttered
we've
before
seen that,
in New York. Blows by Eli Apple, gets 10 yards behind him. It's wide open
right.
And no one else on that side of the field, for a touchdown that would ice the game with 6 minutes left, and he overthrows him just seconds after making a spectacular play to keep the chains moving and give them possession. And so to me, in a nutshell, that crystallizes the debate on Dak Prescott and where he is on his career right now. All of that being said, I will say, since he's come in the league in 2016, this is pretty remarkable. Tom Brady is the only quarterback in the league who has more wins as a starting quarterback than Dak Prescott.
David, great stuff. We appreciate the Cowboy insight. Gary, we'll see you up here when you go up end of the season. Cowboys may be winning the division here at MetLife, last game of the season. Thanks so much for hopping on with us today. Appreciate it greatly.
Well, enjoyed it, guys. Thanks a lot.